They love Star Wars. They love comic books. But they really love football. It's Nick and Cecil, powered by Coe's BMW. Here's Nick Ferguson and Cecil Lammy on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
All right, hour number three of tonight's program. And we go to that VIP line for one, Chad Brown. It's 104.3 The Fan's Chad Brown joining us, presented by the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. Chad, what's good tonight, man?
What is good tonight, fellas? Man, you know, I think we, obviously, our conversations are always focused around the Denver Broncos, and I think there's a lot more questions at this point than there are answers, and so trying to find the good amongst so much unknown is, I think, been difficult.
It's very difficult. And first things first, when the news came out about John Elway stepping up, stepping down, stepping aside, whatever, not being GM, what did you think?
Number one, I wasn't surprised. I think it was clear that something had to change. I thought that was probably the best and most graceful way to pull that off. So if it was Joe Ellis who made that happen, tip of the cap to Joe Ellis. And then in some ways, you know, I suppose tip of the cap to John as well to agree to that. You know, it's been a rough couple of years, and it was clear something needed to change at that level in the front office. And so I think this is maybe gives the Broncos a chance to go forward, depending on how they handle this next phase with who they bring in as a general manager. But yeah, not surprised, Cecil, and in some ways relieved, so we can begin to move forward, I think, as fans of this organization.
All right, Chad, speaking of the next chapter, and that's going to start with finding the next GM. And put your, you know, your personnel cap on, a president of football operation cap on for a second. What type of guy should Broncos country, now not Vic Fangio, what type of guy should they be looking for the team to actually bring in?
Well, I think they need to bring in some guy who is going to come in and want to establish, you know, his footprint on the culture of the Broncos. Obviously, the GM is not in the meetings and he's not involved in coaching and doesn't have as much interaction with the players. But he needs to be, you know, an equal part of the culture. You spent time in San Francisco. I spent time in San Francisco with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. And to see those guys in lockstep and to see John walk around the facility as the GM, it was clear that those two guys were on the same page. It was clear that one wasn't dominating over the other, and it was clear that they were speaking the same message and sharing the same mind about football. So when I say, you know, having his footprint in the culture, that's what I'm talking about. The GM doesn't need to lead meetings, but he certainly needs to be a presence all the time. And when your general manager, John Elway, goes to New York to sit on the couches of the morning shows and talk about some pharmaceutical drug, that doesn't say he's bought in. And I know that was only a couple of days over a long tenure as a general manager, but when you do things like that, that undermines your message and it undermines the message of everyone else in the building that it's not even important enough for you to be here in the building when we're in the middle of the football season.
Chad Brown telling the truth right here on The Fan. And Chad, you mentioned being in lockstep. I was going to ask you about John Schneider and Pete Carroll, right? Because that's another duo that's in lockstep there. Who could that be with Vic Fangio, and why would you want that with a coach that is probably going to get fired after next season? Like, I don't know. A lot of stuff about this doesn't make sense. So I agree with you. Find a GM who can be in lockstep with your coach, but what if your coach is, you know, going to be replaced pretty soon?
Right. So I think we're all happy that John is, you know, stepping aside. We'll put it that way, stepping aside. But then the question becomes, how do you handle this next piece of it? And I think to bring a coach in who's got a losing record as part of this small committee who's going to be picking the next GM, man, I don't know if that makes a whole lot of sense. And, Nick, you have been involved in the inside of football as a coach, and I've done a number of internships as well. And I'm sure you've been surprised, Nick, as just as well as I have. And Cecil, you've been close enough to football where you've seen these kind of things happen from time to time. When decisions are made that don't align with necessarily winning. And we always talk about football as the ultimate winning sport.
Right.
You know, did you sack them or did you not sack them? Did you score or did you not score? It's such a bottom line business. And it's, you know, particularly at this time of the year with coaches being fired, it's always so bottom line. Well, he didn't win enough games and he didn't go to the playoffs. But then in this hiring process, somehow that becomes secondary to, you know, is it a personality thing? How's he going to fit? Is he going to like my system? Why don't we just pick the people who are going to win? Let's do that. Let's pick the best people who are dedicated to winning, and we'll find a way to make that work. So this process now that's being done here in Denver, I'm not sure if that's the best way to win. You've got a coach who is going to enter into next season on the hot seat. So is his number one concern about, you know, hiring a GM, about trying to get a guy who's going to be sensitive to Vic's situation and predicament? Or is it going to be about his job security? Or is it going to be about winning? This situation puts so many clouds over the thinking process and presents so many question marks that I think it's difficult to really just focus on what it's supposed to be about. It's supposed to be about finding the best people so this organization can get back to what it once was, one of the most winning organizations, not just in football, but in all of professional sports.
But, Chad, as I would tell other people, you're using entirely too much logic. And you know as well as I know, they don't, you know, you can't apply logic to a lot of these situations. And the situation we saw on Sunday, I'm still trying to logically feel it, you know, figure it out. But I'll let you give me your take. The Vic Fangio, the timeout on the two-point conversion, what was the first thing that came to your mind?
What the hell is that? And, you know, here we are in week 17 doing the same mistakes we did in week one.
Yeah.
And I think we all have grace with people who make mistakes. But you lose the grace pass when you make the same mistakes over and over and over. And in the words of Bill Belichick, we're not paving that ground again. We've paved it one time. We're moving on to new ground. And if you keep making the same mistakes over and over and over, then you show me, number one, you're not learning from your mistakes. And number two, you're not the person for the job. So regardless of whether it's the head football coach, the GM, or somebody doing customer service at one of my businesses, I always react the same way. Mistakes are fine, but we better learn from it, and we better not do it again. So to have this crop up at the final game of the season, and literally one of the last plays of the season, I thought, what a perfect, you know, bookend. You started the season this way, you end in the season this way.
Right.
It's clear you don't have somebody on staff or you yourself have not handled this situation just yet. And, you know, part of the discussion, particularly late in the season about Vic Fangio was clearly this is a guy who's far more comfortable deep into year two being a defensive coordinator rather than being a head coach. And he finally talked about it, in the last couple of days, that he's willing to let Ed Donatell maybe call games so he can become more of a head coach. It took you 2 years to realize that? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. It took John Elway stepping aside for Fangio to win a power struggle. And then he comes out and says Ed Donatell could call it. Ed Donatell's been with him for 20 years. Ed Donatell could have called defense from day one. Anyway, Chad, this is your segment, brother. It's your segment. Chad Brown, of course, joining us here. Chad, final one for you. Appreciate your time as always, brother. John Elway was Drew Locke's biggest supporter. Now John Elway isn't there as the GM. What does that mean for Drew Locke?
Wow. I see a couple of plays here, but I think maybe the safest play for whoever the general manager is to come back with Vic Fangio and to come back with Drew Locke and to give it one more go. Then that way it doesn't work. He has a chance to say, hey, I gave those guys a shot. Now I've got a chance to clean house. That way there's no questions at all. There won't be any pushback on his plan. Another season similar to this season, he's got to find a way to move forward, and those two guys, Fangio and Locke, won't be part of it.
All right, Chad, outside of trying to figure out who the next GM is going to be, what's the second biggest priority for the Denver Broncos this offseason?
second biggest priority for the Broncos this offseason. They've got to find a way to increase depth and really get some corners in the secondary. That just hurt them all season long. I mean, obviously, the quarterback situation, I think, from a competitive standpoint, needs to be addressed, bringing a veteran into that room. But you're going to lose games all the time, particularly in this division with Herbert and Carr and Mahomes, if you don't find a way to shore up that secondary and provide some depth. Guys are going to get nicked up. Guys are going to miss games. And you can't go into games with your sixth and seventh cornerback starting games. You're going to lose every time.
Chad Brown, ladies and gentlemen, 104.3 The Fan's Chad Brown, presented by the Elite Sportsbook at the Red Dolly Casino in Blackhawk. Chad, be good, brother. We'll talk soon.
All right. Have a good night, folks.
There we have him. Chad Brown on that VIP line. And Nick,